morning, good afternoon, or good evening, wherever you are in the world and whenever you're listening. Welcome to Rampton's Radio, random ramblings recorded at Rampton's Road. I'm your host, Cole Fink, and I'm starting this podcast as a way to fuel relationships. As we get older, we hang out less, and I want to connect with my friends as much as possible. There's kids and careers, there's people who are interstate and overseas, and we simply don't hang out as often as we used to. And I admit it, the fact that I'm a bit of a hermit contributes to that, and I appreciate all of you, my friends, who put more effort into connecting and staying in touch than I do. I know that I'm a good friend when I'm with people, and maybe not such a good friend when I'm not with people. And this is an effort, this is my effort to kind of rekindle our relationship. So this podcast is not designed to make me famous or make me money. It's literally just designed for my friends. And I don't mind if you share it with other people who aren't my friends. I guess if you're listening to this, you either are my friend or you're going to be my friend, maybe. But yeah, the intent is simply that I get to have really good conversations. One of the most valuable aspects of my friendships with you has been the conversations that we've had. And deep, intellectual, meaningful conversations are the ones that I love. And when you see people less, I find those conversations are more difficult. It's harder to get to the good stuff when there's a bunch of, I don't know, just like life admin and catching up to do first. And so I'm finding that I'm seeing my friends less and less, but also that I'm having the experiences with my friends aren't as valuable and as meaningful as they used to be. And I desperately want that back. So I'm trying this podcast as a way to provoke those kinds of conversations. And so maybe you'll listen to this podcast and then at some point when we see each other in future, we can have a conversation about the topic. Or if you are provoked by whatever I say in this and you want to respond, then you might send me an email or you might call me or send me a message or whatever. An obvious milestone in my life recently has been the birth of my first child, Deacon, my son. And it is a massively transformative moment in your life. Once, like the moment that he was born and I was able to hold him, I just cried and I didn't mean to or try to or even think about it. I just did. And I think that we're like programmed to find meaning in children. I heard a wonderful quote a while ago that the meaning of life is to find meaning in life or to give life meaning. And Deacon feels enormously meaningful to me. And interestingly, his birth has had me starting to think about time, which is kind of the topic of this podcast. Probably when I upload this, it'll say something about the scale and nature of time. See, statistically, and very fortunately, given the fact that we live in this country, in this society and in this moment in history, statistically, Deacon is very likely to be alive in the year 2100 because the average Australian male now, I haven't actually looked up the number, but the average Australian male makes it to 80 or more. And he was born on May the 8th, 2019. So he's very likely to be alive in the year 2100. And so his birth kind of makes that distant point in time seem not so distant to me after all. Like I suddenly feel like I can visualize or understand my personal connection with the year 2100, where before that just seemed like kind of the distant future. And I now have this more visceral connection to that moment, to that time. And in the other direction, my family had a really great relationship with my dad's mum, my grandma Phil, who, incidentally, when she was born, her name was Phyllis Edna Sarah Tutton, and which means that when she was born, her initials were PEST. I love it. Deacon did not get such a ridiculous set of initials, but anyway. So Grandma, as she was known to me, she was born close enough to the year 1900. I can't actually remember exactly what year it was. It was either 1903 or 1907, I think, potentially 1907. But let's call it 1900. And it always astonished me, like it astonished me at the time that a lady, like when she was alive, a lady who was born at a time when there were basically no cars, right? Like cars really were popularized in the 20s and 30s. So there were basically no cars and electricity was pretty much a brand new idea. Like they were still dealing with the peak of inflated expectations on the hype curve, way away from the plateau of productivity. And so when she was born, Melbourne was dirt roads and horses and carts and gas lanterns. Like, it's almost a completely different world. And yet, she was my grandma, and that's when she was a kid. And I feel like I sort of understood that. And she lived to see not just broadcast television, but DVDs and the birth of the internet, though I don't think she was a denizen of the internet herself. And she eventually died at 98 or 99 years of age at around the turn of the millennium. I think just into the 2000s, I can't remember exactly when. So anyway, between the birth of my grandma in around 1900 and the future death of my son in around 2100, I find I now have this new kind of useful calibration of time. Like I have a way to conceive of a 200-year span that feels much more accessible or tangible than it ever did before. And I've found it to be quite sort of an illuminating new perspective on time, which had always seemed difficult to grasp or understand. And primarily what it's done is it's drawn into like stark, I don't know, contrast, or like it's put a spotlight on the fact that maybe history is not as massive as I thought. Like it's not as long. It's not as long as I thought. So I've been an adult for 20 years. And I clearly remember being 19 years old, which was 20 years ago. When I was 19, my dad died. I flew to Canada with Evan. And I got fired from working at the Whistler Ski Resort because I fell asleep in the top lift hut at 7 a.m. You're definitely not meant to do that, by the way, when you're supposed to be supervising a lift, even though it's not open and there's nobody on it. Anyway, that'll get you fired, just FYI. So anyway, I remember being 19 and I kind of remember the two decades in that period. I know what 20 years feels like. And I didn't really know what the first 20 years felt like, if that makes sense. Like as a 20-year-old, I don't think you really get what 20 years is. As a 40-year-old, I feel like I do. And so if I know what 20 years feels like, and if 200 years, 1900 to 2100, is a time period that I can feel kind of personally connected through, then suddenly 2000 years, which is sort of what we think of in this society as sort of history, I know it's not correct, but we live in the year 2019, right? So 2000 is this sign of kind of, I don't know, flagpole 2000 years ago is this moment, Jesus, obviously. Then suddenly 2000 years doesn't seem like such a big deal. It's only 10 times this 200-year period that I feel personally connected through from grandma to Deacon. And so it's only like all of recorded history began in around like 5,000 years ago because the Sumerians first created writing in that time. And so all of recorded history is in the same order of magnitude as just 10 times grandma to Deacon. Like it suddenly feels so much more accessible. And I've been thinking about it like money. So if you think like $10 buys a burger at a fish and chip shop, right? You might think of $10 as something else. So I'm going to give you some examples of what I think of kind of scales of money as. And but you might think of them as other things because you and I have different lives and we're interested in different stuff. But to me, $10 feels like a reasonable burger at a fish and chip shop. If I think, what's 10 bucks worth? That's roughly what it's worth. And 10 times that, $100 buys, say, half a trolley of groceries or some like desirable or useful gizmo that you might want. So the most recent one that I bought was one of those Bluetooth speakers. So that's what $100 feels like to me, is some useful electronic gizmo, a Bluetooth speaker. And then 10 times that buys you something a bit more significant. So in my life, $1,000 feels like a nice guitar or maybe a decent portion of a serious piece of equipment to put in my shed. So like a lathe, or pretty soon I'm going to go and buy a buggy to drive around on the farm. It's going to be awesome. I promise that's yours, Mish, the buggy. It's yours. It's your buggy. I promise. Right, so that's what $1,000 feels like to me. And then 10 times that, $10,000, is like a decent secondhand car. My Audi cost basically 10 grand. And then 10 times that, $100,000, is a deposit on a house or a decent start on an investment portfolio. So I have $100,000 invested in a business that a friend of mine has. So that's what $100,000 feels like to me. And then 10 times that, 10 times $100,000, $1,000,000, is a house, the house itself, the house I'm sitting in right now as I record this. I say that not to brag, by the way, merely that if you own a house in Melbourne, it's probably $1,000,000 because that's how much houses cost. So the 200 years from grandma to deacon, that perspective, you can do the same transformations that we just did with the money with those years. So if my 20-year adulthood is the equivalent of the $10 burger, right, if that's the analogous sort of connection, the 20 years that I get, that I understand, that I remember, that's a $10 burger. And then the 200 years from grandma to deacon is the $100 Bluetooth speaker. And then all of human history, 5,000 years, is just the $2,000 Maton guitars that I have in this house. One of which belongs to Cam. I took it from him at least 10 years ago and didn't give it back. But on the other hand, Cam, I have given you my 70-200 L-series Canon lens, which is probably worth more. So on that alone, we're probably even. In almost every other respect, I'm sure you've spent much more on me than I have on you. Thanks for that. Okay, so 20 years is the burger, 200 years is the $100 Bluetooth speaker, all of human history is just my guitars, right? Then extrapolating from that, and in a way that absolutely blows my mind, then my house, right, that $1,000,000, my house, represents the entirety of the existence of Homo sapiens. So like from when modern humans evolved and became the species that we are today, so if you were to freeze if you were to somehow have grabbed a frozen fetus or whatever from 200,000 years ago and raised them today, they'd basically be a modern human. They're a Homo sapiens. Before that, there were other human-like creatures or hominids or whatever, like Homo erectus and Neanderthals and all those. But essentially, biologists tell us that when we arbitrarily draw a line saying these ones are Homo sapiens and those ones aren't, we're talking about 200,000 years. And if my 20 years is a burger, then all of the existence of Homo sapiens is my house. And I can kind of get that. And it absolutely blows my mind how short time actually is. And I get it, you can go back to the start of the universe and it's like 13.5 billion years, and that's too far and it just blows your mind and you lose the connection to it. And the whole thing about this like new insight, this realization for me, is that I feel much more connected to much larger chunks of time than I ever have before. And I reckon what this new understanding has primarily kind of injected into my brain is this realization of how insanely fast things change. Like the transformation of the world happens crazy rapidly, it turns out. 200,000 years, one house, right, is all of the existence of Homo sapiens. And with that realization, the realization that the world is changing faster now than at almost any other point in history or prehistory. So, like a massive meteor hitting the Yucatan Peninsula and killing nearly everything, that was probably faster than this. But that one event aside, has the world ever transformed as rapidly as it is transforming right now? Probably not. Which is, like, amazing and humbling and frightening. Very frightening, actually. So, anyway, I'll leave you with this crazy factoid, and I look forward to whatever conversations spring out as a result. So, hominids, human-like creatures, have evidently controlled fire for somewhere between 1.5 and 1.5 million years. And for the sake of it, let's say a generation is 20 years, and let's pick 500,000. So therefore, 25,000 generations, there's been, from the time we learned to control fire, there have been 25,000 generations of people. 25,000 generations, that's quite a few. And in the last 1% of that time, we have been writing. So the Sumerians, which is what's now Iraq, the Sumerians first invented writing 250 generations ago, 5,000 years. And in 250 generations, we go from the very beginning of kind of established civilization to landing on the moon and inventing computers and connecting the world with the internet. Like, in 250 generations, we have done all of that. And what's even more mind-blowing is that throughout those 250 generations, for almost that entire period, way less than 10% of the population was even literate. And probably way less than 10% of them had access to much of the written information in the world. Like, the information was all just in books, trapped in libraries, accessible to a rarefied few. And even then, in only 250 generations, humans have accelerated the pace of progress to the degree that it's hard to imagine that it could be any faster. And yet, now in this time, most of the world is literate, or will be, and already way over half of the world is connected. Like mobile phones, the degree to which individuals across the world in every society own mobile phones is insanely high. And so if 250 generations took us from very basic feudal societies through to landing on the moon and inventing the internet, then how many generations will it take when we have 7 to 15 billion people, all of whom are connected, all of whom are literate, and all of whom are connected to the most unbelievable database of information that the world has ever seen, and where the total amount of information in the world doubles something like, I don't know, every year or less? What is the pace of change going to be like in Deacon's lifetime? I have no idea. I can't, whilst I now feel like I understand the time a bit, I don't understand the gradient of, I was going to say progress, but possibly where the environment's concerned, progress would be a really bad word to describe it. But I don't have a grasp of the gradient, the rate of change that's going to exist in his life. And I find thinking about it both exciting and humbling and deeply frightening. So there you go. All right, peeps. This was episode 1 of Rampton's Radio. Hopefully you found something in it interesting. And if you did, I'd love to hear from you now or in the next conversation. And if you're bored one evening and you think, you know what, wouldn't it be nice to have some people over for dinner? Then I encourage you to give me a call and get Mesh and I over. Anytime someone cooks us dinner, we're deeply grateful and we'll bring you money, friendship, and whatever you want. booze if that's what you want, or ingredients if that's what you like, anything. Let's hang out. Okay, see ya.